stateofstreaming.com was going to be a documentary, which, hello guys, I bought this 5 years ago, and I could confidently say the state of streaming is crazy. People, okay, we gotta go through these because it's getting, I feel like it's getting a little boring. People are literally like, what if this is your first episode of That Creative Life, and it's literally just the host going through her URLs. Welcome to That Creative Life. Hi, my name is Sarah Dici, and I am your host. I talk with artists, YouTubers, CEOs, and everyone in between. I hope this podcast helps you live your best creative life. Enjoy. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of That Creative Life. It's your girl, Sarah Peachy, rhymes with Dici. Today, we are talking to Adam Barker, who I get to just spend so much time with. It's so great.
You do genuinely love it.
So, if you guys are not, I mean, if you're aware of me, you've heard me throw around Switchboard, which is a software company I'm building with Adam. He came to me with this idea literally over a year ago, and we're just now kind of starting to feel some momentum. We started putting out our socials, which very soon will be going, and I would like to note that the moment we started recording this podcast is when all of the horns outside started to honk. Don't look at my notes.
It's one of those days.
It is one of those days. Adam, can you explain what we just spent an hour and a half doing?
Yeah, I bought the Google Stadia in, or Stadia, and it was working perfectly on a couple of laptops. I mean, the idea is that it streams games from the internet real time, and That's the idea. So it worked perfectly on two laptops, but then we wanted to hook up the TV behind us with an HDMI cable, and then everything went to pieces. We bought a different laptop, different HDMI cable.
We plugged in the Ethernet. And see, I had just recorded a video of me plugging in a laptop via HDMI to this TV behind us here, the Samsung 8K QLED, and I have had zero issues. And this was the first time that I've had any of these issues. But okay, let's be productive, because happy to announce that Stadia was very smooth on like a basic XPS 13 2-in-1. So it kind of holds up to the theory of, if you have a solid internet connection, it'll be solid gameplay. Just don't try to plug in a second display via HDMI.
Somebody's going to know what that is, though. Like, there's like a bandwidth thing. Somebody's going to know.
Yeah.
Maybe that person gets a t-shirt.
Okay, so we're going to incentivize them to help us with this, because we want to make a video about this, because we have a Switchboard YouTube channel right now, and
it's naked.
It's very bare bones, but it's my goal in the next 6 months to try to figure out a cadence there that isn't, of course it'll help once we can start telling people actually what Switchboard is, but my thing, and I kind of want to talk about this a little bit, I talked about it in the previous week's podcast, of just running organic socials as a company or a person, is you have to run them in a way where you're not selling what you want to sell. There has to be, if you want a genuine audience, you have to build a connection, and you can't just put ads for stuff. That's not how you do organic media. You have to add value. And so, it's a slow start, but we're going to get there. Adam.
Yeah.
I think we should do a little intro of you, even though you're sprinkled in to my videos every now and then. We've done a proper thing, a proper video, a vlog, but we did it once. So give a little intro. Where you're from, what you do, how we met, and currently what we're doing right now. So that will be the next 40 minutes of the podcast. Okay, take it away.
I'm Adam. I'm from United Kingdom, and I've lived...
Can you tell, guys?
I've been in New York for what year are we? 2010, I guess. 9 years.
This is 2020.
So when I first moved here, I was a software architect for a marketing analytics company, and then in 2015 started to think about doing something else. And that in 2016 turned into like a data visualization / big data analytics type thing. Didn't really know what we were going to do when we started, but we just left our jobs and did that. So I have a little startup. It's commercial real estate. It's in a pretty niche sector, but you know, we learned everything about building a small company and sales and trying to get revenue and building a product, supporting users, that kind of thing. But I found myself wanting to do a lot of video content, like we were just talking about, and trying to find ways of providing some value to these real estate people and our users. And that involved a lot of video and starting a podcast and stuff like that. So because we were a small team, I found myself doing a lot of editing and chopping things up.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
In the beginning, you were actually editing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me break this down for you guys, because I think it's such a good example of what I say so much, in that it's not about having sheer numbers, but it's about appealing to the right people. Example, me in the beginning, I was only getting hundreds of views. Like, when I say hundreds, literally like 100 to 200 views on each YouTube video. But I wasn't concerned necessarily about numbers, but oh my gosh, the right people watched it. I maybe got 2 wedding clients from them watching that one video.
Yep.
And I think you're such a good example of that, because literally the section of real estate you're in is self-storage, which you wouldn't think there's a whole industry.
No, I mean, we had no idea.
Right, and it's not super massive, but there's certain big players. So if you can create the table by creating the content, creating the show, whatever you're doing, then you instantly become a big player in that conversation. And that's what you guys did. So you're not necessarily making these videos for the masses, but those key 20 people, if they're watching, you're in business, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, because it's a relatively small industry, we really saw an opportunity to be like the news outlet,
right?
The content, the value, providing business in addition to our software. So we thought that would bring in a lot of inbound leads, and you know, today's way of marketing a product.
Yeah, AI is definitely the buzzword nowadays, but 3 years ago it was big data, and obviously big data, AI, machine learning all go in together. But can you explain when you go to a tech conference and you see big data everywhere, what does that even mean? What big data? Okay. What is it?
I mean, back in 2015-16, I think we referred to it as data that was kind of so big you didn't really know how to handle it all, and you sort of had to take samples of data to be able to do any real analysis against it. But with cloud computing came the capability to actually analyze all of that data. So analysis got more accurate and the insights were better, and businesses could perform better based on their having access to those sort of tools, grid computing and stuff like this.
What Hadoop, is grid computing?
Well, just kind of distributed. So if you have a huge data set, it gets distributed over many machines. Each machine will do a piece of it and then aggregate.
Which is basically just cloud computing, right? Just the idea of multiple different computers that are connected.
Right. Well, there was Hadoop and things like this before, but you know, with Google Cloud, AWS, now people can do this stuff extremely cheaply. Right. It's on demand. You can run something over a terabyte of data and shut everything down. It costs you a few dollars and you have an accurate result.
Interesting. Because the idea with that, with AWS and all these cloud services, and what I mean, I've been exposed to this through you guys and through the work at Switchboard and stuff, and going to the AWS conference kind of opened up my eyes to how it's not even how big this world is. It's the only thing that really matters right now. And you know, I do so many videos about laptops and Windows operating system and all this stuff. And you start to realize that Microsoft could care less about Windows. Like, their Surface team and their Windows team in context to like the Azure team is so minuscule.
Right.
And that's what everyone's playing on, is the cloud. And that's because every company is moving a lot of their services to the cloud because it's infinitely scalable. That's the point, right?
Yep,
you can say, oh my gosh, we're about to load you know, you take YouTube for an example. They are adding thousands, tens of thousands of new users, you know, billions of hours of content uploaded every single day, and they have to be able, that's probably the closest infinitely scalable example, right? All of those bajillion terabytes of storage that they have to have on hand, that's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even, you know, there were some stats around Facebook about how many, you know, how much data they
oh yeah, people uploading their pictures, yeah. And didn't even think about Facebook.
Right.
What services do they use for storage? Do you know?
I mean, I think they built their own stuff.
That makes sense.
People typically eventually build their own data centers.
But, right.
You know, if you're not at Facebook scale yet, then
that's when you use other
right.
people. That's interesting. I didn't. Yeah. Okay. Big data. Yay. I want to start off. I know that was like a very long precursor, but I thought it'd be super fun if you can open up your phone right now and like log into your GoDaddy account.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are you prepared?
Well.
Okay. So guys, hang in there with me. So the more people I talk to who, not just like entrepreneurs, but creative people who have ideas, they have businesses they want to build, you start talking to them and they own at least like 15 URLs. So I feel like it'd be super fun if we sit here and we go through all of the URLs we own, because I need a moment here. Mm-hmm. I need a moment to let go of one.
Oh.
Like this is a big
Which
moment
one?
For
Not
me.
The...
Yeah.
No way.
Yes, that one.
You should have told me it was that one. You could have got like a real guest on.
No, you are a real guest.
I don't need
that
sort of responsibility.
So, first I have to sign on. But yeah. I mean, this is basically me advertising for someone to go buy it.
Oh, I see.
I'm not letting go of it. I literally, okay, guys, this URL, I paid $1,500 for it, somewhere around $1,500 for it when I was 18 years old. I saved up the money and bought a $1,500 URL when I was 18 or 19, my freshman year of college, because I was so convinced. This was before YouTube was my job. I was so convinced that I was going to solve the music licensing problem.
Yeah.
Which now we have Epidemic Music, we have Artlist, we have all these companies that have now come and practically almost solved the problem that I saw 5 years ago. Because I was making these freelance projects and these music licensing companies were quoting me $1,000 for the song and I was only getting paid $500 for the video. And so that's when I bought MusicHustle.com and MusicHustle.com and pre-YouTube, Sarah, that was my thing. I did not want to get followers on YouTube. My thing was I was going to stay in Nashville. I was going to record these talented artists in Nashville, and that was going to be the Music Hustle YouTube channel. And I was somehow going to just build a music licensing company.
I mean, it's in a way, I kind of wish you had done that.
I mean, but I was so naive. I didn't know anything about the industry.
Yeah, but...
You know.
Anyway, this is a previous chapter. But what you're saying now is that you're going to list it for sale?
Well, I'll do it after. But I want to go through. I have a lot of random ones that I would really enjoy going through, and I think you should too. I want to hear what URLs you own.
Okay.
Do you pull it up?
I mean,
do you have them in your brain? I guess you don't. I own so many.
I do have a funny story about your URLs.
Okay.
And
please tell.
I mean, just the synopsis is that I did go through a spate of going onto the GoDaddy auction site and finding domain names for sale and listing them by traffic, because they still measure the traffic even though...
And would you buy it and then you would resell it?
I bought it thinking I would be able to do something with that traffic. Yeah. So I do actually have about 30 of those, and I've probably earned... Yeah, I've earned nothing from them. So,
was your idea to buy those like and then to put ads on them?
Something. Like one of those horrible landing pages where it's just ads.
Yeah.
So I do have a lot of those. So I can't show you the account because it's embarrassing.
That's the point of this video, Adam. I want to hear.
But they're not just some, they're just like random alphanumeric, they're just strings. It's not like Sarah Peachy.com.
Well, that's actually
imagine selling that. We'd be rich.
Well, that's, I mean, that's practical. I bought SarahDeachy.com and it reroutes to SarahDeachy.com. Okay. So I own SarahPeachy.com and I own SarahPeachy.com, S-A-R-A-H. And at one point,
that's smart.
And I own SarahDeachy.com with an H in Sarah. And I'm pretty sure that should be rerouted. And the goal of those is to have all of them. There you go. See?
Perfect.
So if you type in SarahDeachy.com with an H, S-A-R-H, it reroutes, it directs to S-A-R-A-Deachy.com, which is my actual website. And at one point, I'm pretty sure Sarah Peachy was rerouted, but I failed. Anyways, I'll fix that. But yeah, so practical. So I do have some practical URLs.
No, they're good.
You know?
They're good.
And then I have every version of Music Hustle for some reason.
Because that was the thing.
That was That's the fine. Thing.
I
that
mean, when you thing. Have an idea, this is the, your point yes. is, when you have an idea, the first thing you think is, I need all the domain names.
And I kid you not, this is kind of, I mean, this is kind of embarrassing, so you're going to have to share something here, Adam.
All right, I'll share, don't worry.
I was convinced for some reason that it was going to be a big thing to like have these real estate usernames on Snapchat, because geotagging was so big 4 years ago or 3 years ago. That I was literally, so I own like, or not own, I have the usernames and I'm sure they've given them up by now because I'm the person who you hate squatting on that username you want. I literally have like Dallas Homes and Miami Homes on Snapchat because for some reason I thought I was gonna like build this business that like was gonna geotag like properties and stuff. In certain cities via Snapchat and like run, I don't know what my, this is what I think about when I hate college so much and I'm sitting in the back of class just like thinking of something to do.
Well, I mean, these ideas are pretty good.
Oh, thank you. But we're going to get Maybe into some silly
one,
ones.
Keep one quiet just in case things don't work out.
Yeah. Or they can just, hey guys, if you want one of these domains, please DM me. They will all start at $10,000. You know, super fair. Just kidding.
It's like a bit of a random number, but
okay, so okay. I mean, how good does that musichustle.com look though? I mean, that's a clean URL. I will
Looks
sell
like
this
musichustle.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's good. I'll sell this for like 5,000. I think that's reasonable. Okay. If someone wants musichustle.com, I will sell it to you for $5,000.
Okay.
And I won't give it up for anything less than that.
For 5,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I will squat on this domain
so
until I
Homes
die.
On, Dallas Homes on Snapchat is 10,000.
Yes.
But Music Hustle, your life's work today is half the price.
Yep.
Okay.
And then this I is good. And then I use that creative.life. That's pretty good because my podcast, this podcast, is That Creative Life. And
yeah,
so
that's
the
not,
website
that's not for sale,
is no. That's a working URL.
Unless somebody wants to buy the entire.
If they want to buy my podcast for a cool $5 million, of course.
Okay.
All right.
Phone will be ringing off the hook any second.
Oh, okay. And then I had these ideas for merch. Keep in mind, I've literally only sold two different lines of merch, okay? But when I was really excited, I was like, I'm going to do every season a new line and I'm going to have a different URL for it. So I literally have springpeachy.com because I thought, ooh, fruit is seasonal and it could be like...
That's yeah. On the scale of good ideas you've had
gosh.
So far, that's
it's probably. Yeah. Oh, I just spit. we have Tyler Babin sitting in the corner of this behind the camera, and he's just like trying not to die.
We should have said that at the start. Oh, I keep looking at him. okay, Spring Peachy. Yeah. Okay. How much is that one? Even but that's $50. Anybody?
Oh, I need to just let go of that
go
one.
Of
I just I'm letting go of let that go one. Of Peachymerch.com is active.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I put merch the two times I've sold it.
Yep.
Downtownjeans.com is pretty. So I was literally, I was literally going to. Oh, I know what that was. I was so pissed off that ladies here, guys. There's real businesses behind these. You fellas have no ideas. Pockets in women's jeans are awful. If you're lucky enough to have pockets, you can't even fit half of your phone in them. So I was gonna basically make women's jeans with like that were still cute and stylish with like big pockets. And that's what downtownjeans.com was gonna be.
What's next?
Okay. Oh, okay. These are, guys, these are real businesses. Okay. Scouting, scoutingspace.com.
Scouting
this was going to be Airbnb for filming sites. And so now it's
that
a thing.
Has to been, that has to have been done.
No, it is now. But that's what I'm saying. I had in Nashville. So I had all these ideas in Nashville that weren't a thing, like music licensing for online creators and freelancers. And this was Airbnb to find spaces to shoot in.
That's great.
And now there's, I'm forgetting, but one of the people who was actually on Creative Spaces TV, he is a guitar player. He was half of a band that I'm a big fan of. But he also played with Paramore. He toured with Paramore as the utilities guy. So he would like play all instruments. His name is John Howard. And he actually has a company called Avvay, AVVAY.com, that does this. But then there's multiple websites that I've used personally now here in New York for sites. But scoutingspace.com.
What's the price tag? Because somebody will snap that up.
You think someone will snap that up? Oh, I love that this is like now an auction.
Yeah.
Should
have a phone in.
How about, let's say 500? That's pretty reasonable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a range on these. Okay. 10,000, 5,000, free, and then 500.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Honestly, they're not that bad so far, so I'm kind of scared because I feel like some of them are pretty silly. Okay, here we go.
Well, the G.
Oh, I'm not okay. Creativetodo.com. Mm. I was gonna make a listicle app that is now Things. It was basically, you know, the app Things.
Yeah.
Really good. I use it. I basically wanted to make that before I knew it existed.
Right. I'm not a fan of that one. That's
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Creative.
All right, we got to go to another page.
Does that say page 1 of 19?
It says page 1 of 2. There's 19 total.
There's 2. Okay.
Yeah, which is actually pretty slimmed down. I feel like at one point I was managing like 35 URLs and not doing anything with it.
Right.
Okay, creative. Okay, that creative life, CRTV.
Yes.
Because I didn't know if I was going to be able to get that creative life on other things, so I basically just bought both of those. Maybe I can just redirect that to the other one or just let go of it. I don't know. CreativeSpacesTV.com. So when I was doing Creative Space TV, I thought it was going to be like this whole thing, and so I bought the website.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean,
yeah,
I definitely still keep that
one. I mean, I'll just keep that, yeah. I mean, I don't do the series anymore, but yeah.
You never know.
You never know. TheMusicHustle.com. So I bought that before MusicHustle.com.
Okay.
Because when I saw it for sell for $1,500, I was just like, there's no way.
Right.
And then it just ate at me.
Yeah.
Okay, CityOfHustle.com. If you cannot tell... This was pre-Gary Vee, too. I was using all this hustle nomenclature. It was very zeitgeisty back 5 years ago. Because I was in college, and I was like, hustle is my life. I'm, like, staying up till 4 a.m., like, doing homework and editing videos.
Really? Did he get it from you?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's a deeper subject.
So City of Hustle was going to be a documentary I was going to make.
Oh, definitely keep these.
Yeah. Hustle New York is for the... No. Wow, I obviously really like this word. But I don't say it anymore. I don't say it at all.
What is the status with that?
With the
endeavor?
Event? Yeah, it's just if companies want to come alongside and pay for it, it's just... It's amazing because you get to be in the center of all these amazing relationships and connect people, but it's really expensive to do. So if companies want to throw, if they want to sponsor a Hustle NY event, then I'll bring it back.
What if they bought one of the more expensive domains?
Then maybe we'll have to, if musichustle.com sells, then we're going to have to throw a Hustle NY event.
So the event is like 5,000, it's closer to 5 than 10,000.
Actually, yeah, because I do know those numbers. Yeah,
right.
Like food would be like 1,500. Alcohol would probably be actually like around 3 or 4. So it would be pricey. We can just
definitely keep these anyway.
Yeah. Stateofstreaming.com was going to be a documentary. Which, hello guys, I bought this 5 years ago, and I could confidently say the state of streaming is crazy. We gotta go through these because it's getting, I feel like it's getting a little boring. People are literally like, what if this is your first episode of That Creative Life and it's literally just the host going through her URLs? They're probably like, what the hell are people talking about? SarahDeChu.com, obviously. SarahDeChu.com with an H. PeachyEnterprises.com makes sense. Okay, so they weren't that bad. That's all my domains that I still have. So not that bad.
So that's pretty good. I feel like you've got some, I feel like you've got some that you can definitely let go.
Yeah.
The jeans one. That's a free, if anybody wants that.
If any company wants to come alongside me and do a collab.
No, just get rid of it.
Okay.
Get rid of it.
Well, no, get rid of the URL, but I still need jeans with better pockets. It's still a concern.
Right.
So.
Somebody else can solve that, I think. It feels like it doesn't feel like it's, there's no, I don't know.
Yeah.
But these are the hustle ones are good.
Yeah. So I want to, you got to give me something, Adam. This was intended to be a give and take. So you got to give me a few of yours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, off the top of my, so I did try and write a thing that helped. It was a web service website that helped songwriters write lyrics. So it was basically an editor, a real-time collaborative editor, and you could, had like a dictionary and and a rhyming thing in there, and you could save projects and share them with your bandmates and stuff like this. So that was a thing.
Interesting.
That was called LyricWorks.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Right. But I listed it when that business, when I knew it wasn't going anywhere.
Okay.
I listed it, and I it was a successful sale. Not your sort of numbers.
How much?
We don't need to. We don't need to.
Well, okay, guys.
I'm not trading it for downtown jeans, put it that way. But
okay, it listen.
Was,
that
was one.
What's another? Give me like a goofy one that you truly thought was going to go somewhere.
Very early on, I had commercialcity.com.
Oh, okay. You could probably reroute that to your self-storage business.
Yeah, I think a lot of them. Also, I set myself the target of like, if it doesn't, like I buy it for 2 years. If it's not anything in 2 years, then just let it expire.
I mean, that makes sense. I should obviously practice that. I am curious to ask you though about, it's funny. Well, guys, we'll talk about Switchboard at the end. I know I probably should talk, but you'll know when it's out and it's popping. I will be talking about it 24/7. I just want you guys to get to know Adam. He is the other third of, we're just going to call you the other half because James can be the in the corner, in the darkness, not in the spotlight, right? That's what he wants.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure he wants to be on this podcast, but I also don't think he wants to sit in the corner in the dark.
The third co-founder of Switchboard. Anyways, I just want you guys to get to know Adam because things are happening and it's exciting. But I want to know what your history with music is because I feel like that's what we initially connected on. And the fact that you went through the trouble to make a website to help people write songs, but you're a programmer. How did music collide in your life? Like, what's...
Well, okay. So the story is I started playing guitar when I was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And I got an electric guitar and I tried to be really good and tried to be very technical and blah, blah, blah. And tried to do all that for quite a while. But then I just kind of like fell in love with songwriting, more of the craft.
Yeah.
And
could you sing or were you aware that like, I'm going to be a behind the scenes songwriter?
I did sing. I did do a couple of shows in London when I was approaching 30. Christina, you can bleep that number. When I was approaching 30, I thought, I haven't really done anything with music. And I was working in London at the time, and I thought, I'm just going to try and do as many like open mics and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even though I was working all day long, I used to like drive into the center of London and do these little shows. And then I got one or two bookings. I mean, it wasn't glamorous.
You know,
at all,
you're going to have, I'm going to have to hear your singing voice at some point now. You know that, right? Cause I was totally unaware of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll send you a link long after this podcast is finished, but,
I don't add it in. I'm going to have to add in a clip. I mean, we're going to have to do that.
You can add in a clip. Okay.
Awesome. Amazing.
Yeah. So
what was the side hustle? But you probably came to the point that I think self-aware people can see if you're not at the tip top and you're just waiting for a break, music is very hard to make a living.
It's very hard. And I was thinking maybe because I don't really have the face for fame.
You have a good radio voice. That's right. What people used to call
it. Great face for radio.
Great face for radio. Thank you. I can't even say the sayings that I'm trying to say.
You can't even insult me as much as you want. Yeah, I thought, well, maybe I could write stuff and then, you know, I could just write stuff for other people or I could write stuff for licensing because the whole thing with the explosion of licensing. TV in the States and stuff, that was I remember thinking, oh, it would be good to try and get involved and just even write some jingles. Exactly.
It's so funny how much overlap we have with our ambitions and stuff. isn't it hilarious?
We're out here
trying to make a AI driven content creation software coming spring 2020.
I kind of stopped.
A little bit later. Okay, and then is that when were you pursuing programming at that time? Or
yeah, I was always when I was freelance.
Gotcha.
That was, you know.
And so what brought you, so I want to get actually into music, but I'm curious with programming because you didn't go to school. So what was your first project? I just spit too. That was kind of gross. I need to wash these. I know. See, the fact that you were so close and kissing that mic, now are you grossed out? 70 people have put their mouth on that. Just kidding. I have watched these before. Anyways, programming. What was that first project because you didn't go to school for it?
Programming? Well, I mean, I was... No, I didn't. But I kind of learned as a kid. I was 6 when we got our first computer as a family.
Wow.
But it was a ZX Spectrum. This is showing my age a lot.
A ZX Spectrum.
And there was this British made.
Okay.
Sir Clive Sinclair.
I don't know the words you're saying, but.
I mean, people will know.
Okay.
Somebody must know what I'm talking about. ZX Spectrum was a home computer made in the States in 1982, I think. And we got one as a family, plugged it into the TV, you know. And it had very basic games on it, but it did have a programming language. And then you had to buy magazines, and the magazines had listings of games in the back of them, and you could type these games in and play these.
So what program was it? Was it like COBOL or something?
No, it was BASIC.
Okay, COBOL came after BASIC. I mean, right?
No, I think COBOL was real old. COBOL, I think, is the 70s.
You know what's really interesting?
Not COBOL.
Exactly, but it's about that because that's what I heard when I was studying computer science. Everyone talked about COBOL. No. Oh. But you know, there's a lot of theory in it, and that's why I hated it. Now I learned that I should have maybe tried software engineering, not freaking CompSci. But they talked about COBOL like that. Oh, it's this ancient language, no one still uses it. But I literally had a neighbor whose job was it to know COBOL to program mainframes for these banks, for Bank of America and stuff.
Yeah. No, there's a lot, I think a lot of people still do that.
It's crazy.
Still have that job.
Yeah. I didn't it's crazy how old some of the infrastructure of these huge systems are, which makes you think that this is the attraction of Bitcoin and stuff. But anyways.
Yeah. Like when the whole Y2K thing happened, there was a resurgence of people needed COBOL developers to make sure that the stuff wasn't going to die overnight.
So I didn't know how big of a deal that was. But when I asked my dad about it, he was like, yeah, people literally thought the world was going to end because of a computer clock not being able to know that it was a new millennium.
Yeah. They thought planes were going to literally fall out of the sky.
Did you think that? What was your... Because you knew computers at that point. What were you feeling?
Well, I mean, I can imagine COBOL programs. I can imagine it. You know, because when these things were first written, people thought, oh, we'll just have a two-digit date. This will all be updated by the year 2000.
But why would the calendar malfunctioning destroy everything, though?
Because when it rolls over to zero, the computer thinks it's 1900.
I'm not picking up what you're putting down. Huh? I don't understand how that affects I don't know. But why couldn't they have just...
I've been doing this for 3 years.
Oh, I learned nothing. That's okay. Why do not go study computer science in college. Go to a freaking coding boot camp or something. Yeah, we can move on. But Y2K, it's an interesting thing to learn about. Okay. Did I let you finish your programming thoughts? Oh, yeah. I want to know what your first job was. I'm sorry.
My first job was... So my first job was a trainee computer operator, which was in a bank or a building society in the UK.
And they had a building society?
I don't really know.
Sounds like a cult.
It's like a small bank. Okay. I think it's something to do with, I don't want to guess. Actually, I'll guess. I think it's like a local thing.
I do have a computer.
People put their money in, they kind of own a little bit of it. It's more like a club than a bank.
Okay.
I feel like I completely made that up. But
let's see.
We're going to find out.
Building society definition. A building society is a type of financial institution that provides banking and other financial services to its members. So maybe it's like a bank union where there's not other stakeholders, or a credit union. Building societies resemble credit unions.
Okay.
God, I am so smart.
It's tough to follow that. I worked for a small bank as a operator, and all I did was there was a big industrial printer that printed things out first thing in the morning. These programs used to run overnight and print all this output, so there'd be a stack of paper. I used to deliver it to people's desks. That was my favorite part of the job. And then I used to do a tape backup of the entire customer database, went on tapes. You still have tapes now, but there would be 30 of them. And you would take all these tapes out of the machine, and we'd drive them to an offsite location for disaster recovery. And it was kind of tedious. But from there, I just moved into my IT support stuff.
So I'm guessing you learned a lot on the job from the other people that were working there. It helped you kind of understand more things that you needed to get the next job.
Yeah. I did have there was one job I had was IT support, and there was just an opportunity for me to demonstrate that I could help a small department, just a couple of people in this department that had this product. And I thought if I went home and kind of rewrote this thing, they'd be pretty impressed. So I kind of did that. Mm-hmm. Then I went back and presented this thing, and they were like, oh, you got to join the team. So that's what started it.
You took initiative. Such a big theme with people I talk about is you take initiative. You take the extra step because so few people actually take one. It's so, guys, I'm telling you, everyone does the bare minimum.
Everyone does the bare minimum.
And so you will be shocked what happens to you when you take the extra step. That's all I'm going to say. Well, good for you. And now you find yourself here.
Yes.
I want to talk music a little bit, and it's totally has nothing to do with our lives.
Okay, great.
But today I just had a moment where I'm like, the state of music and streaming, and the state of streaming
.com
is so interesting. Because I got kind of agitated. Very rarely do I get excited for new albums now. Because I tweeted about it. We're very used to just listening to singles, and we listen to playlists and top hits, and that's our life, right? But as a person who grew up being hyped about the new NSYNC CD, I had all the CDs, I would listen from track one to track whatever. I'm an album listener.
Because the order was important.
Well, yeah, because that's how they intended it to be.
Yeah.
Okay, and so because I listen to so many podcasts and audiobooks, a lot of my ear time is taken up by other things than music now. And so I have a few artists that I really love,
Okay.
So it's the classics. We got Paramore, all the classic stuff, John Mayer, mm-hmm. of course. But the more poppy people that I really enjoy, Halsey is one of those. Mm-hmm. She's such a badass, and her music is so good. It varies greatly. And so it was the first time I had an album in my head. It's coming out today, January 17th. I'm so excited for it. I didn't get that. Siri, you're not a part of this conversation. How rude of her.
That is quite rude.
And so I was so excited to listen to the album, and I hit play. Mm-hmm. Literally the entire album is like singles she's already released, and then random interludes with other artists that aren't even full songs. And then like the last three songs of the album, the first song is new too, but the last three songs of the album is like really the only freshness that she added to it that's like new, and I enjoyed it. But when I saw that there was 16 songs, I was so excited because I was like, man, what she's been putting out,
yeah,
I've been liking.
Right.
And then I listened to the album, and I'm like, half of this isn't new.
Okay.
And I'm just convinced that the way artists release music needs to be completely different. I don't even think they need to make albums anymore if they're going to do that.
Well, so, I mean, what are you, why do you think that is?
Because
do you feel like this is actually just, do you feel like the album release is actually almost like a bit of a scam because it's not?
Yeah, kind of. Right. Well, it's, they hype it up. They hype it up as much as they used to when we would go to a physical place and buy a CD. Right. And it so has changed.
Full promotion.
It's changed so much. I think Taylor Swift does actually still a good balance of this, where she will only release 2 to 3 singles ahead of her album.
Right.
Only. And then when your album's 13 songs, then okay. Like, you got 10 new bangers just waiting for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it was so unsatisfying, even though, God, I love her, I love her music, that I was like, you might as well just release singles and update a playlist. I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious how this is going to change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. That story in the sound, it feels to me like the album thing is a little bit scammy.
Yeah,
but I'm happy with them releasing songs periodically.
Yeah,
if that's the way like things need to go, then that's I'm totally happy with that. I don't necessarily. Well, I miss it from a nostalgia right. point of view. That, you know, it's not as exciting as opening a CD and having all of having all of the stuff. But
it's just, music has changed so much, and I feel like who was gonna be, I mean, someone like Chainsmokers, they never release an album, they just put out singles all the time,
right?
And they're huge, right? But still to this day, there's no artist that treats uploading to Spotify like other creators treat uploading. I feel like it would be so interesting for like a Justin Bieber to like release one song every 2 weeks. Like, I feel like that's possible. Yeah. Like, Justin Bieber took, I mean, he has Lyme disease and stuff. So, oh my God, did you hear my stomach growl?
Is that Lyme disease?
That was insane. Yeah. I've only had a bagel today.
Cream cheese.
And cream cheese. We can, which he's had stuff going on in his life. Like, I hope he takes care of himself, but he stopped for 5 years, and then he releases that Yummy song, and it's just awful, and it says nothing. And so I'm like, okay, if these are going to be the bangers of this day, you could create that Yummy song in 2 weeks, and you could release a Yummy like every other week, right, and then just sprinkle in like the ones maybe once a month. I'm curious what that would look like. Like, I want to open up my Spotify and just like I open YouTube, see a new upload from the musicians I care about.
Yeah,
wouldn't be interesting?
Yeah, I'd love that. I think I would love that.
I think, why is music not seeming like it's moving at the same rate that everyone else is? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly the artists that I used to like wouldn't be able to think in those kind of terms. It's like a piece of work every 2 weeks, or even a piece of work a month. They kind of go through the cycle of 2 years writing an album, promoting, tour, and then they're taking time off.
Interesting. But see, I don't even feel like you need a tour anymore. That's the thing. I think there's more options for musicians, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like you can just be a personality, like so many other people are making their art work.
Right.
I don't know.
And so I've got a question for you about touring. When I know so little about the music industry, but when I did know a little bit many years ago, it was like touring. Nobody made any money on touring. It was all album sales. But now people make huge sums of money from touring.
Well, it's because they've been forced to make that revenue work because streaming is such little. So it's literally like, I feel like a musician could make, because, you know, a lot of people still lose money with touring. I mean, Scotty from the David Dobrik vlog, where he's not a musician first, but he just made a video that he like lost $75,000 on his last tour. So it's still very hard to make that profitable. But I'm like, he already makes so much money on the internet that touring is a means of exposure for him and connecting with new people.
Right.
To where he doesn't have to make money. But I'm like, oh, I wish more musicians would think in the way of like, a lot of people want to chill and write, and they don't want to, they're introvert and they can't interact with hundreds of people a day on a tour. So what a cool time that we live in that you could like live stream instead of tour. You can do a live streaming tour where you set up dates and you say, come hang out with me on a live stream. I just think they're so, I don't know.
I think it would be completely acceptable for you if you are into an artist who's trying to work their way up, for them to expose as much of their songwriting process as possible. Like that would be the storytelling behind it.
Like Andrew Huang is a good example.
Right.
He has a banger YouTube channel and he makes music, but he makes really intriguing videos about the gear and the songwriting process and all that stuff. But yeah, I think my body is making a lot of weird noises. I just drank and my, you know when your like throat like has a little bubble?
Your throat has a little bubble. Yeah.
Like it just kind of like did that.
Bit of a reflux, if you will.
Yeah, that's kind of a gross word though.
Reflux.
Okay, Adam, because we spent an hour and a half trying to get the Google Stadia thing working, we are running out of time, unfortunately. I wish this could be longer, but I want to wrap things because I have a freaking phone call. I hate phone calls, by the way. I'm like, can you just let me create? Can you just... Yeah. And, you know, like, why do I have to talk to people? Anyways, I want to wrap things up by talking briefly about Switchboard, because I just want to keep hyping. And I want to also make this account, like, this is accountability for me, to where the Google Stadia video will be up on the Switchboard YouTube channel by the time this is up in 2 weeks. So I'm putting that pressure on me, because I've been on such a flow with my YouTube channel. I, for the past 2.5 years, haven't dealt with the thing that people talk about, with being scared to upload stuff. Because I feel like there's such a pressure.
Oh, right.
And now I'm like, oh my God, what is our voice? The AI video that I want to make from CES, I'm just looking at the footage and I feel like there's not enough there. And so I keep putting this pressure of like, oh, I need to sit down and like do an explainer video of what AI is now and do all this research of like how it's evolved throughout the history. I'm like, no, I don't need to do that. But
you don't need to do that.
I know, but it's just, there's like this weird, I haven't experienced this in so long because, you know, it's building a new brand.
Yeah.
I've done that with that Creative Life podcast. Hey, what's up? But now this is the third adventure, which is exciting for me. But so yeah, I'm putting that out in the world. What's been your biggest challenge building a software from the ground up, a web app software?
Well, I feel like this is the I feel like Switchboard is really the third one, because I did the music one. I mean, I put a lot of time into that.
So that was like a proper thing.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then with the startup, with the real estate stuff, that was the second one, and then Switchboard was the third one, and they all feel quite different. When we started the company, you know, there was a lot more riding on the success of the product, so it was less of just a side project than an actual,
and more
like,
of
this
like
is
we
critical.
Need to make money.
But I think the common thing is just being able to like iterate quickly. You just kind of have to do things quickly, which is ironic because I feel like I'm always telling you that nothing's happened, like it's,
well. But I think even though I'm not a programmer per se, I understand how when you have a big project and you need to work with more than yourself and you're working with other people, I mean, for better or worse, that does slow things down. And it makes things more difficult.
Yeah. One of my biggest mistakes, I guess, so far, with this project, is that the minimum viable product
is a lot.
Yeah. It's just kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely, one of my weaknesses is definitely when I start brainstorming something, get excited about ideas, the ideas just grow into other things, and you think, you know, the minimum viable product has to have that feature, when really it probably doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a weakness, but
No, I mean, that's, I think with a lot of people, that spans whatever industry you're in that in the beginning, narrowing down is the hardest thing to do, yeah. but it's probably the most important thing.
There's also as many people who say, you just do the minimum thing to prove it, as there are people who say, make the thing that's just going to take over from day right. one.
So I'm kind of in the takeover from day one camp because I know how powerful this can be. And I'm like, well, that thing that you said that we could do 2 months ago, why isn't that in there now?
Yes.
And so, because I'm thinking from a YouTuber agency, yeah. all these people who are going to use this, which is so yeah. exciting. Oh, I just got a text. We're all on this phone call when you're ready. Okay, be there in 2 minutes. Because I'm wrapping up that creative life. I hate phone calls, God. Okay, Adam, I'm so excited to bring this to the world in 5 to 33 months. It'll be sooner than that. But they say never put a timeline on things. So that's why I've been very loose. I just say 2020.
Yeah. No, it's definitely coming. I mean, this is going to be a game changer. Like
it's exciting.
This is going to take. Yeah. This is going to take over.
Oh, totally. And yeah, even more pressure. Get my shiz together on the YouTube side of hiring editors and producers and stuff. I'm doing it though. It's going somewhat okay. But guys, if you want to be on the short lister of beta testers, you can sign up for the Switchboard newsletter. I think we already have like 900 people on there, which is insane.
Yeah.
You're gonna be thankful for everybody that's signed up so far. You're gonna be the first to use this, and we're really curious what you are gonna think about it in the next few months. So, Adam also needs Instagram followers. So if you can go in the description below and follow Adam on Instagram, he would appreciate a lot.
We should have opened with that.
He really wants to pursue
Christina,
the life.
Just chop that. Stick that.
Don't do that, Christina. You do not take demands from Adam. Nope. Do
all right.
not.
All right. We don't. Christina, just you know.
Anyways.
Cut that for a start and then do the other thing, put the thing at the front.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this. We'll definitely obviously do part twos and threes and fours once this is out, but I feel like I needed to do an initial one to just like get to know Adam, even though I talked about URLs the entire time.
Downtown jeans coming your way. Get rid of it.
Okay, guys, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to it, every single Monday, That Creative Life. Tweet at us at That Creative CRTV Life. What a URL that you own that you're proud of or you think is super goofy, because I want to read that. That would be really cool. Okay, until next time. Bye.